Acts 3 and 19, very simple, one of the first messages that Peter ever preached, and he says this, "Repent, therefore, and turn back, that your sins may be blotted out, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send Jesus Christ, appointed for you, Jesus, whom heaven must receive until the times of restoration of all things about which God has spoken by the mouth of the holy prophets long ago." Just three things in starting to discuss this morning with us. The first thing that he says, now the Apostle Peter, he gives us great hope because a few verses before this he cussed out kids and backslid and went back to his occupation of fishing. Now, I'm not hope that he's cussing out kids. I'm just saying I love that God is a redeemer. I love that God, through his eyes, he always looks at me through the eyes of redemption. He's not just looking to pick apart what's wrong in your life, and we all got stuff wrong in our life. Can I say that? None of us are perfect yet. And so he says this, repent, therefore. Now, some people would say this, in fact, this is not a popular subject whatsoever. Some people would say you only need to repent once, and after that, it's for non-believers. I heard a guy say that. In fact, he taught a whole lesson on repentance is only for the non-believer. And I'm opening my Bible and I'm like, what concordance does he have? Repentance is to change your direction, to change your mind, to change your opinion about something because God spoke to you somehow. And so I don't think the repentance is a simple occasion of being born again. I'm to the persuasion that repentance is a lifestyle. It is a way for believers. Repentance is a lifestyle. Why? Because my mind is always to be changed. I've always got to repent of something because sometimes I have preconceived notions, predetermined dispositions, stinking thinking, or I fit my culture into God's word and it just doesn't fit. So the reality is God, can we all agree, repent, therefore, that seasons of reversion. Now with repent, there's a word, it's metanoia. He's speaking to the soul of a person. How many know if you're born again, your spirit doesn't need to repent? It's regenerated. If you're born again, how born again are you? Some people say, man, I know some saved people, but that Dan, he really got saved. No, Dan just got saved. If you're saved, how saved are you? You're saved. If you're lost, how lost are you? You're lost. You might be nice, but you're lost. You might not cuss as much as you used to, but you're lost. You might not butt as much as you used to, but you're still a billy goat, right? It's a nature change. You become something completely different in your spirit. And this is to back up what Pastor Bev was preaching through a few Sundays ago, because we preach some things that we have it all. How many know that is true? Legally, that is not true literally if you look at your life. So can we just agree this morning, if you're born again, I'm not trying to steal your thunder or make you insecure. If you are saved, you are saved. If you are a new creature, you're a new creature. Old things have passed, new things have come. Your spirit is saved, your soul is being saved, and your body, hallelujah, one day will be saved. Glorified body, right? So we're not talking about the spirit only. We're talking about the spirit and the soul that connects it. If there's any mechanics in here, your soul is like a universal joint. It's a conjunction between the spirit realm and the natural realm. It is a dressing room that lets the bridegroom come into your chamber and produce things. But it's a mindset. And so repentance is a mindset thing. I've got to repent. God cannot repent for you, nor will he. It is an act of your will. Repent, therefore. That, how many of you like this? So there's a prerequisite. Before I was born again, I just thought God did stuff. And God does do stuff, right? But for me to maintain what God's doing, it's got to be according to my subjection to him, my submission to him. So you repent. And I find I got to repent of something every week. I had a misconception. Maybe sometimes I judged something too quick before knowing the whole truth. I got to repent. It says, therefore, that seasons or times, this word seasons or times is the word kairos. It is moments in time for God to do something very specific in your life. I believe that we're living in a kairos moment right now. That this is a special season, a special time that has never existed on the face of this planet. The Bible tells us to redeem the seasons and times, for the days are evil. So God says if we repent, we will enter into not just a world season, but we'll enter into a season in which God will refresh. Anybody need some refreshing? The word refresh, this is good. It means to catch one's breath, revive, or the cooling off from struggle and labor. I don't know about you, but I need a refreshing. How many like seasons of refreshing? I'd like a day of refreshing. How many would like to walk into a season of refreshing? Has anybody ever experienced a season of refreshing where regardless of what was happening on the outside, on the inside, you felt equipped, you felt loved, you felt accepted, you felt your second breath in you, your second wind came upon you? God wants to bring that to us today. Or we can simply just confess, well, I know I'm saved, I believe God, all things are mine and all that. Yeah, I got the peace of God, and it's good to confess that stuff, but I got the peace of God that passes all understanding until somebody cuts me off and flips me off. Let's get real this morning. I got the joy of the Lord until somebody. He owns the cattle on, he is my provider until the bill comes due and you lose your job. And then your mindset begins to focus on those things. So can we just say this? Everybody needs a refresh. Jesus was the Son of God. Thank you, Jesus. But he was also the Son of Man. And if the Son of Man needed refreshed, you need refreshed too. He had 12 disciples that became apostles. And he said, I need a refresh. You just got to give me a break. I just got to call the babysitter. Can grandma take these kids for a couple days? Take these 12 apostles because I got to get along with the Father because I've got to be refreshed because I minister out of an overflow when I'm refreshed. If Jesus needed refreshed, I need refreshed. And you need refreshed. And I declare over us this morning, why not a season of refreshing come upon us? A time of refreshing as we repent from the presence. This is where it comes from. It comes from being in the presence of the Lord. There's a prophetic word years ago about this church, even before, and this family and you, before we even knew each other, that this would be a whosoever will church. But it's not just about getting a bunch of different people together, right? We can do that at Applebee's, right? That whosoever would come and whosoever was thirsty would come. And that whosoever would come and drink of the water of life freely. We were called to be a bunch of whosoevers that carried refreshing. We were called that where we go, out of our bellies would flow rivers of living water springing up into everlasting life. I am an artesian well. Some people are the old type of well that you've got to dig a hole, drop a bucket, and then wind it up. That takes a lot of work. But there's something called an artesian well. An artesian well, when you hit it, all of a sudden water springs up. That's why we sing the song, Spring Up, O Well. I declare over you, you are not the old type of well that we got to pump up to get water out of you. You're an artesian well that inside of you is living water ready to spring up. And it's not just for you, it's for a dry and a thirsty land. You are a stream in the desert of this place. In fact, God called this place that we would be a stream in the desert. And I know that we are. There's 5 specific souls that God wants to speak to out of Psalms 107, and we can find ourselves in each and every one of them. And I think as we look at this and see how God deals with different people to bring refreshing and restoration to them. And in Psalms 107, I'm just going to break it down and then we're going to praise, okay? Psalms 107, it says, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. For his steadfast love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. who he has redeemed from trouble. By the way, I want to stop right there this morning. When Melanie prayed for our little one here, for Bailey, I just felt something, because she's a bold witness for Jesus. She's bold for Jesus. She'll say the name of Jesus. She'll pray for people in school. I pray that all of our kids would never be ashamed of the name of Jesus. That they would never be ashamed of the gospel. They would never be ashamed to be canceled for their faith. Let the redeemed of the Lord, why did I say that? Because the redeemed of the Lord need to say so. Whom he has redeemed from trouble and gathered in from the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. And now here's the first people that God wants to bring refreshing to. Some wandered in the deserts. Some, circle that in your Bible. Some wandered in the deserts, in the wastes, finding no way to a city to dwell in, hungry and thirsty. Their soul fainted within them. And they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He led them in the straight way till they reached the city to dwell in. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love and for his wondrous works to the children of men. For he satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry with good things. The first group of people that are some that God's speaking to this morning are hungry souls. Hungry souls. Has anybody ever been a hungry soul? I always say this, I love to cook for hungry people. It's fun to cook for hungry people. They don't complain as much, right, about the meal. Hungry people. God wants us to be hungry. And he says, if you'll be one of those some, if you'll be hungry, then I will fill you with every good thing you can. So I got to question myself. Lord said, if I'm looking at these five groups of people, I want to be one of them. I want to be hungry. I remember in the early days, I would lay on my face and I could not get what my soul wanted. And I would say, Lord, I'm not going to get up off this altar. I'm not going to get up off this floor until you touch me. I'm hungry for you. A fresh hunger from God. The Bible says that those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, it says that they are going to be filled. The weary and the hungry souls this morning, he's here to visit you. Hungry souls, you come to the conclusion you have no plan B. Your mama can't do it for you. Your daddy can't do it for you. The politicians can't do it for you. Public housing can't do it for you. Your pastors can't do it for you. Your friends can't do it for you. You are put in a corner to where you realize that the only thing that's going to satisfy that God-sized hole inside of you is God himself. Hungry people. God says for you, he said, I'm going to satisfy that with every good and perfect thing. I speak to hungry souls this morning. Abundance is coming to you if you desire it. The next group, it says, some sat in darkness in the shadow of death. Prisoners in affliction and irons, for they had rebelled against the words of the Lord and spurned the counsel of the Most High. He bowed their hearts down with hard labor. They fell down with none to help. Then they cried out to the Lord out of their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress, and he brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death. Who's the next group of people that he wants to? Now, I always thought God just wants to refresh and redeem the people that got it all together. No, he's speaking to a different group of people. He says, I want to refresh the people that have rejected my word. I want to bring them to a place where they become obedient to the things that are not just good for the Lord, it's good for us. You realize our sin does not affect God. And I'm going to say this. It's not good. Our sin's not going to change God. He hates sin so much because of what it does to the people he loves the most, which is y'all, which is me. And so some rejected his word. Now, that's not talking about BC, before Christ, either. Some reject his word. You know what? God required honor, and we decided to gossip. God required forgiveness. God required thanksgiving, and we chose complaining. Come on now, Holy Ghost. I'm just preaching to myself this morning, and then I'm going to have an altar call, and then I'm going to pray for myself. Because this is all me. It's me. Anybody rejected his word? There is a refreshing. But it comes to the place where I'm actually obedient to what God tells me to do. It doesn't have anything to do with he wants to bless this person. I got to look at, am I receiving his word in my soul? When I first heard the message on tithing, I did not like it. Because God don't need my money, and that preacher don't need my money, and that church doesn't need my money. I had one guy, I had one friend, and he had a motorcycle ministry, and he didn't believe in tithing. Oh, I wasn't even going to go here this morning, but I'm just going to go here. Because I'm blessed and I'm an unapologetic tither. I just am. I don't feel led. I never feel led to do a lot of things sometimes that God requires of me for my good. I had a friend who was a biker and he had a biker ministry. And so he tithed to his Harley Davidson. He said, why don't you tithe? Well, this is my ministry. This is my ministry. And so that new carburetor and those ape hangers, I tied to that because, no, that was his idol. And your ministry might be your idol if it is casting the word of God to the side and you doing what you want to do. That Harley was not going to hold him accountable for his soul. But the obedience opened me up to have people speak into my life, to be a part of something bigger than myself. It's sanctified. Come on. It's sanctified. Now, I wanted to cast that word off. Because I couldn't afford it. No, I couldn't afford not to. Because either God said it or God didn't say it. So I did it. And this isn't law. You're not under the law. You're under grace. Under grace, God just loves you so much. But Father does know best still. In crazy days to come, and I might talk about this in a few more minutes, in crazy days to come, I'm going to be thankful that I have sanctified that area of my life through obedience to his word. You know why? Because God said he would rebuke the devourer for my sake. I believe that. Obedience to the word is hard. You don't work for your boss, you work for the Lord. Oh, I'm camping out here. It turned into a message. You don't work for your boss, and you don't work for money. You work for the Lord. And then grace flows, and you can even bless the boss that's giving you the hardest time. God called us to bless. Submit to authority. I hate that word. Submit, submit. Submit is not them putting their boot on your neck. It is an act of your will to submitting to God through a person, knowing that if they get messed up, God will take care of you because you did what the Word said. And God said he brings people to the place where all of a sudden they say, okay, Lord, I'm sorry, I repent. I'm sorry, I didn't read my King James or my NIV Bible this week. I read my multiple choice Bible. You know, the one where I pick out what I like and eliminate the stuff that I don't like. He said to those people that chose to do the word, some rejected the word, and because of that, they were suffering consequences. And God's like, oh, I just love them. I love them so much. I'm going to bring deliverance. I'm going to help change their mind so that I can pour out an abundance of blessing. Some were hungry. Some rejected the word. Here's the third one here. Let me finish reading. He brought them out of darkness of the shadow of death and burst their bonds apart. Those are those that rejected the word. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of men, for he shatters the doors of bronze. When he brings you to that place where he brings you to obedience in his word again, what happens is refreshing looks like he shatters closed doors. Opportunities open that never opened before. The next, some were fools through their sinful ways, and because of their iniquities suffered affliction. They loathed any kind of food, and they drew near to the gates of death. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He sent out his word and healed them and delivered them from destruction Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works among the children of men. Let them offer sacrifices of thanksgiving and tell of his good deeds in songs of joy. Now, some people just picked and choose, but some people, I have some people, anybody seen, people just absolutely backslide. I mean, I'm doing the wrong thing on purpose. I'm not just picking and choosing. When we pick and choose the Word of God, that just makes us religious. But this is people that are in rebellion. I mean, they have rebelled against the Word of the Lord. There's been people that I don't even know how to pray for. They know what they're doing is wrong. They're heading towards hell in a handbasket. And you say, oh my gosh. And sometimes I would say, you know what? Obviously, God's given up on them. No, God hasn't given up on them. He's still watching them. He's still looking at the person that is in rebellion and sin, and he's still saying, I'm looking for the great opportunity to set them free from their captivity. I'm going to show them my steadfast love despite their wickedness. I got refreshing for some hungry people. I got some refreshing for some people that don't necessarily like everything I have to say. I have some refreshing this morning for people that have backslid, and I'm going to give them an opportunity to slide back to my goodness. The next one. Some went down in the ships, doing business in the great water, and saw the deeds of the Lord and the wondrous works in the deeps, for he commanded and raised the stormy wind, which lifted up the waves. They mounted the heaven. They went down to the depths. Their courage melted away in their evil plight. They receded and staggered like a drunken man, and where their wits end, were at their wits end. And they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from all their distress. He made the storm still and the waves of the sea to hush. Then they were glad that the waters were quiet, and he brought them to their desired haven. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love and the wondrous works among the children of men. Let them extol him in the congregation of the people and praise him in the assembly of the elders. These are people, now we know natural storms, and you do understand that, like, the apostles or the disciples knew this verse before Jesus calmed the storm. How many know that was proof? This is the Lord. Peace be still. But for us today, many of us aren't going to get anything in anything bigger than a 19-foot John boat on Sullivan Lake or whatever in the river. I think it does is talking about the storms of life. Anybody got some storms of life? Storms of life. These people were just trying to do the right thing and stuff just happened. The ups and the downs, the highs and the lows. You know, in the book of Revelation, Levi read in the book of Revelation, it calls the sea, that was a metaphor or a prophetic sign, it calls the sea in the book of Revelation, kindreds, tongues, and people. And I'm just going to tell you, when I look at what's happening to kindred tongues and people right now, I'm getting seasick. The ups and the downs, the highs and the lows, you watch the Dow, you watch the economy, you watch all this, and you think, Lord, seriously, I want off this roller coaster. The storms of life had hit me, and you know what? He still calms the storm. He still brings refreshing. If you're going through something, you can lean upon Jesus, who is the author and finisher. He is the captain of the storm this morning for you, and he can bring refreshing, and it says he can help you. Now, what happened with the storm is it was hindering them getting to their desired place. Anybody feel some hindrance on what God has said to you and you actually getting there? You're like, how long, O Lord? When am I going to make it to my desired haven? The place that you promised me. He said, friends, today I'm here to calm the storm. I'm here to set things right in your life and help you to enter into a time of refreshing from the presence of the Father. The last one here, and I'm going to close. He turns the rivers into a desert. Springs of water into thirsty ground. Fruitful land into salty waste. Because of the evil of its inhabitants. He turns the desert into pools of water and a parched land into springs of water. And there he lets the hungry dwell and they establish a city to live in. He sows fields and vineyards and get a fruitful yield. By his blessings, they multiply greatly, and he does not let their livestock diminish. When they are diminished and brought low through oppression, evil, and sorrow, he pours contempt on princes, and he makes them wander into trackless wastes. Ooh. What is he talking about here? But he raises up the needy out of affliction, and he makes their families livestock. The upright shall see and be glad, and the wickedness will shut its mouth. Whoever is wise, let him attend to these things, and let him consider the steadfast love of the Lord. Now, in this, he's dealing with a nation whose leaders have forgotten God and let wickedness go all over the place, and his people are suffering because of it. He says, some of my people are in a land that has been full of iniquity and rebellion. And he said, I'm going to see my people in that land. And he said, I'm going to shut the mouths of some wicked princes. And he said, I'm going to bring my people into a habitable place, and their flocks will flourish, and I will bless them abundantly, and I'll deal with the principalities that are causing ruin in the land. I want to stand on this one for my nation right now. When I look at the gas prices, when I look at the taxes, when I look at the violence, when I look at our education system, dear Lord, help me. When I look at crime and when I look at abortion and all these things, I think I feel like in the book of Revelation, where all of the people are around the throne of God and they're standing and saying, how long, O Lord, how long? This gives me a promise. Yeah. Maybe you don't want to agree with it, but I'm going to go to that city. I'm going to be in that place. God's going to bring refreshing to my nation. God's going to protect me in the midst of evil, in the midst of chaos, in the midst of taxes, in the midst of violence, in the midst of gas prices. He's going to protect me. He's going to bring refreshing to me. His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. Isaiah 55 says this. He said, for my ways are so much higher than your ways, says the Lord. And my thoughts are so much higher than your thoughts. I want some higher thoughts and some higher ways. I can complain a lot, but how many know I don't have any of this figured out? But the Lord knows. It'd be real easy to solve a lot of these problems in the natural if people would just do the right thing, but in the natural, we're not in control or in power, but in the spirit, we are fully in power, and the Lord is in control of our lives despite what anybody does. Anybody else want, this is a six, and it's not in my list of Psalms 107, but the Bible says in Isaiah 28th chapter, with stammering lips and another tongue will I speak to my people. He said, and this is the rest in where I calls the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing, the catching of your second wind, the renewal, the restoration. That drink of cold water on a hot day. I believe God has it for us this morning.